This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, you waited for it this time.
I did.
Last week you did not.
I thought about it.
You thought about it. Well, then you thought long enough that you let it drop.
Happy Friday, everybody. It is a beautiful day right outside of our Amherst studios. Bills last preseason game tomorrow night at 7:30. Let's have a day. Let's have a good day.
Have a day that you want to have.
I was going to say, yeah, don't say have a day you deserve. There's going to be a lot of people driving going,
I don't deserve the
Friday I'm having right now. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Did have some news yesterday. The Bills wrapped up their training camp practices for the year, with roster cutdown days being next Tuesday. The big news, though, being the health around Tre'Davious White. I said it last night in the nightcap. I don't want to necessarily make assumptions on the injury. We really do not know what happened. From Sal's reports, he had to hop off the field on one leg, kind of started to work it out, was able to walk a little bit under his own power, being followed by a trainer, went up to the locker room area, and then eventually came back, sat on a cart, and was taken away from the practice field. It is cart season. It is not the same thing that it used to be. We've talked about this. I will also say, too, there's been a mixed bag with the injuries so far this year at Bills training camp. You've also had the Tyrell Shaver stuff, where it looked like, oh, no, that might be serious for him. It turned out to not be that bad at all.
Yeah, the team was very scared about it. Or even ready, Max Hairston.
Hairston as
well.
They
thought that, like, a lot of people were looking at it and thinking, is that a season ender? Turns out, no. He might even be back in time for week one. Turns out, maybe not. We're probably looking at he's going to miss at least the start of the season probably.
But so on that, I don't want to make too many assumptions. I also don't want to like feel like the sky is falling down with that, especially, Derek, we've talked about this off air, I think a little bit on air as well, about the Bills defense and all the additions they've made. if White were to miss week one against Baltimore. Does that suck? Yes. Looking, though, at the rest of their schedule leading up to their week seven bye, there is a bit of a soft underbelly there. It really is Baltimore and a bunch of people.
It's interesting to think about that. In the one-hour cameo that I did for Chopin Bulldog yesterday, that became the core question for me. Are you confident in the Bills' defense being better than it was? And how confident are you in this season with this defense? And I think my answer is I do think that they are better. Even with current standing of injuries racking at cornerback two right now, it looks like. Say White has to miss more than week one, for example, though. Can you get by with Dane Jackson as cornerback two or Jamarcus Ingram as cornerback two? Well, you did that with Ingram against Miami last year.
Yeah, you've had to piecemeal it together at times. And that's my thing, is are you more just dealing with one or two games? Because if that's the case, you'll be okay. That's where the depth right. comes in, and every team's depth is tested when you're down to cornerback four. I said that yesterday, that if you lose cornerbacks two and three, which Max Harrison, Trey White would be that, any team's depth is tested. That's where you maybe hope that your sixth-round rookie, you'll flash a little bit more. And it sounds like Dorian Strong's had a real up-and-down camp. Sixth-round rookie.
Yes.
It is what it is. That's fine. But here's how I look at it. Play Baltimore at home. A team, by the way, you did beat in the playoffs with, I would argue, a much worse defensive group, at least on the defensive line, and a cornerback room that the main options as your backup corners were Rasul Douglas and Kyrie Elam, neither of which are on the team anymore. Then you get the Jets, the Dolphins, the Saints, the Patriots, and the Falcons before your bye week in week seven. Jets do have Garrett Wilson, but Justin Fields is their quarterback.
There's give and take there.
Yep. Dolphins, you've mentioned. They won that game last year early in the season with Jamarcus Ingram playing a corner. And that was kind of Ingram's big moment. I mean, he has a great game. Two picks, one's a pick six. Awesome. You didn't find something necessarily in Ingram. He's just a solid role player for
He's
you.
He's a solid depth corner.
Mm-hmm. He can put a game together if it's one, maybe two games.
Saints, and that's a Miami team that has Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle.
Mm-hmm. Saints, it is either going to be Spencer Rattler or Tyler Shugg. Don't really know where that's going to go, but really worried about them.
They better still get an interception in that game,
yep.
Basically.
Patriots, don't really know what their wide receiver room will look like minus Stephon, or outside of Stephon Diggs. And the Falcons. The Falcons might be a really good offense. I don't know about a good team overall, but I think a good offense. But again, that's week six. At that point, you're hoping, so we haven't heard anything on Trey White, or even with Max Harrison as well, who, even if he starts the year on PUP,
That's more, 4 weeks.
Yeah. You're in a good spot. And that's my thing. Is it perfect? No. But a lot of teams are going through injuries. A lot of teams are dealing with everything. If you have to put it together for one or two games, I'm fine. And my thing with the defense has always been, don't tell me what they look like in September. I don't really care what they look like in September. Yes, I want the one seed. Yes, I think they should get the one seed. But I don't really care what they look like in September. I care what they look like at the end of the season, in December, going into January with the playoffs. Because you look at the Eagles' defense even last year. The Eagles had to change things around when they change Cooper DeJean and what he's doing and eventually put him into the rotation. You look also at the Rams with their defense, and it started really coming together towards the end of the year with Jared Verse and Braden Fisk. Even Baltimore is a team like this last year where their defense was horrific to start the year. They changed Kyle Hamilton's role, and they're off to the races. That takes till about midway through the season, by the way, before they really are able to hit that. The team is going to change from week 1 to week 17, week 18. It's going to change. And so for me, I'm not as nervous about the Bills' defense going to Baltimore. It may suck, and it may be very nerve-wracking walking into that game. But I think we have all gotten to this point now of the Bills, of as much as I'm going to enjoy the regular season, I am looking to the playoffs. That's what we care about. Put it in a bubble. What do we all say about Joey Bosa? Wrap him in bubble wrap. We'll see him in January. Most of us don't even want him to play the whole regular season purely off the fact of I just want him here in the playoffs. That's why they got him. I don't want him to get hurt in the regular season.
Joey, step into this time machine. We're going to fast forward you to the wild card round.
Yeah. The Bills' defense is not going to all of a sudden turn into, especially the additions they've made on the defensive line, both in the draft and free agency, they're not going to be a version like the Bengals or a worse version of that, where all of a sudden they're just trying to scrape together 9 wins. I simply can't see that. Even in their diminished states, they can get the job done with turnovers. That's been a thing that's been very regular for them. Just going back the last 3 years, they've been top five in that in takeaways.
And even then, they're still a well-coached unit no matter what. There's still enough talent on this team that it's not going to matter if there are a couple of injuries. They're still talented enough that, like you said, this isn't the Bengals. You are going to get good enough from a Bills squad, even on defense, if it is injured. Honestly, it's not that injured. One position has been ransacked, specifically the cornerback two position. Everyone else is coming back or is back. The defense is not the list of the players that didn't practice yesterday. It's a lot of offensive players.
A lot of backup receivers.
Namely, backup offensive linemen.
And yes, Tylan Grable and Travis Clayton, both in concussion protocol.
And Van Pranger still out.
Yep.
So typically, it's your depth offensive linemen that are making up a lot of the list. Alec Anderson, even. So, what, that's four of your primary backups on the offensive line? I'd be worried about that. I'm not worried about the defensive injuries because there aren't many yet. But Cam Lewis is back to limited. Shaq Thompson is at limited. That's your depth. And outside of Hairston and now White, that's also it. That's the list. Bishop is off of that entirely. Rapp isn't on it. Good. Most of my defense that has been revamped is sitting there in front of me if I'm the Bills. Time to get to work. The only things that you're going to be really missing from the revamping is, well, let's see what happens with Trey White. So cornerback two, you might be missing all the revamp and modifications that you made to that. But your defensive line, you're missing Hoyt and Ogunjobi, but that's also it. You get Bosa. You get Sanders. You get Deion Walker. Day one, everyone's healthy, ready to go. Safety, a question mark. Cole Bishop is getting time on task tomorrow. As long as he comes away with that healthy, your safeties are ready.
Yeah, I'm not nervous about it yet. Because even the Cole Bishop stuff, to start the week, it was a lot of, man, what do they have at safety? What's going on? Did they do enough? There was a lot of conversations, both on the station and I know just with Bills Mafia in general. But I've kind of moved on to the, not preaching patience, but wanting to be more on the patient side as he gets ramped up. And it did help also hearing, you know, people like defense coordinator Bobby Babich speak rather glowingly and being like, hey, you know, the progress is coming. It was a little slow initially because of the injuries, but now it's starting to happen. And I've mentioned, if he's just a solid player, good, a starter, you're in a good spot on September 7th. Because then if, you know, as McDermott brings up, the calluses develop and you're in December, January, and he's come along, you're in a really good spot. And I think that's really the frustrating thing with the Bills and these good teams in these preseason slots, these right. games right here. Bad teams, or even just middling teams, you're looking for anything. You're looking for any hope. There is good that can come out of the preseason. But when you're a
Giants.
Yeah, Giants.
We'll talk about that later.
But for the Bills or these good teams, it feels like the only actual takeaway you can get from these are bad.
Or come away healthy. But typically, yeah, you're right. It's bad. This preseason, this training camp into preseason has been less than entertaining. It's been less than enjoyable overall because you've seen, like, from practices, the injury list being almost a mile long at times. That's finally starting to shorten up. But then the two preseason games, I haven't looked at a single punt return.
No, that's been a running joke that they have a punt return battle and we haven't been able to actually see it.
The punt return battle has not been available to the public because they haven't stopped anybody, which is tough. And I'd imagine as coaches, you're kind of like, I don't know, like you're pulling your hair out, something like that. Like just, I can't look at my punt return battle with live action against an opponent because we're not getting them on the field. We're literally not getting a punt team on the field. So that's got to be frustrating. And especially for a player like Laviska Shenault,
who is trying to find any role on this
team. He's trying to find a reason to make them pick him for the roster. And one of the reasons that he's supposed to specialize in, he literally doesn't see the field.
Yeah. I mean, he's trying to find any way to make the team. Special team seems to be the way to do it. He did have a nice two-point conversion catch. I mean, it's more of a nice throw, but he comes away with it.
Punt return is something that he's supposed to be good at. Well, and yet he's been...
We actually don't know. He never really did in college.
But that's supposed to be a pitch for him, though. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a solid kick returner, but Codrington's going to have the advantage on the punt returns until you see somebody else do it. And the problem is, we don't know how much we've seen in practice or anything like that. We don't know. It's a mystery.
But I guess, like my point, though, with the preseason games is just, let's say even Laviska Shenault performs well in punt returning, or even Codrington looks great. Cool, the games don't count. They might be going up against a bunch of backups. It's the same with Bishop. We said it on the pregame last week. We both want to see good things out of him because he was going to be one of the only starters playing. But let's say he has a pick, or he has a great tackle for loss, comes in on a safety blitz, boom. Most of us a day later be like, but it's not live action. Like, he does need to still stay healthy.
Right.
The reps, we're still having the conversation about reps. It's the same with guys like Tyrell Shavers, who maybe has been the only guy in all of these preseason games that continues to boost his stock just based off play.
Right.
And yet it's still kind of unanimous. He's a fringe NFL guy. We talked to Sal yesterday. Like, that's how you describe him, is a fringe NFL guy. There's nothing you can really take from these games, seriously. And when you're a good team, the biggest thing you worry about is what you brought up, health. Did you stay healthy? But to that point, when you're in a Super Bowl window, when you are in what I think is now a win or bust kind of situation with the Bills, anything that is bad looks even worse. The Bills' third down defense still looks like garbage. What's the secondary doing? They look terrible, right? They're losing all these one-on-one battles. And I always have to keep reminding myself, even during these games, of McDermott did say they don't game plan. They don't game plan. They might even just a little bit later on in the preseason just to get into the habit of it. But they don't game plan. It is vanilla defense, what have you. But you just don't know. But because you're in such a high-stress situation, you are now a good team in a Super Bowl window. And if you look at the Bills or the Ravens in particular, you're in a window where, hey, in most other eras – you guys probably should have won already. When you look at the stats that you've been able to put up, when you look at like what you've been able to do the rest of the league, you too should have won already, and you haven't in these cores. And so it adds that extra layer of nervousness. And you can feel it if you're on social media with Bills fans, even yourself just sitting there. Like, you can feel it. There is that next level of worry about the organization, because did the window maybe pass them by? Is 13 seconds their best chance? Was last year maybe even their best chance? And now, oh no, did the defense not get any better? Did they do enough at wide receiver? I can understand. Like, that's why I try my best not to push back on it, because I understand that feeling of we're waiting for games to start, and the few games we have here, the team doesn't take it as seriously as maybe we'd all like them to just walk away with good vibes. It's what preseason really is all about. It's just good vibes. But that is, I think, the pain of being a good team during this part of the NFL season is you just got to get through it.
The pain of being a good team, though, is also acknowledging, no, I never, ever want to see my starting quarterback out there, because I know that he will try to bulldoze a linebacker for a first down in a game that does not matter or does not count. I know that of him. Everyone knows that of Josh Allen. He will put a shoulder through a 240-pound linebacker because he wants to. He's a sicko in the best way possible.
Well, yeah, his whole thing, I need to get hit first before I feel like all that stuff. But but then it comes back to that exact point. So as a good team, what are you looking for? Health. And so when anyone goes down, it does add that.
It exasperates
it. What are we doing? Yeah.
It's the one thing you're looking for. And the Bills this preseason and training camp, it started with a list of like 14 players. And a lot of them.
It was in double digits for like 2 weeks.
Remember how I said a lot of those players are also guys that are getting a game day jersey.
Mm-hmm.
That list now, as of yesterday, you add Trey White to it, but Max Hairston, Khalil Shakir, Cedric Van Prangranger, Jordan Hancock, Tylan Grable, Travis Clayton, Grant DuBose, Keyonte Jenkins, Stephen Gosnell. It's a lengthy list of players that didn't participate in practice at all. But now, that list of players that are starters is down to what? Three? With the addition of Trey White? Two of them are at the same position. Mm-hmm. Not great.
Mm-hmm.
But it's down to three starters. And then you look at game day jerseys, you're probably adding Hancock, Grable, Van Prangranger. Clayton's a maybe. DuBose, man, gets signed for 2 days and gets messed up.
Yeah, that sucked. They had that for two of the guys, too. The running back.
The running back as well.
The day he signs,
yeah,
he picks up an injury.
And
then DuBose now has to have surgery. So, I mean, that's his season gone.
That's his season gone, yeah.
And surgery. You assume season done. And you're like,
especially for a player that was only added for the sake of playing, really.
Saturday.
On Saturday. Stephen Gosnell and Keyonte Jenkins. Those are guys that probably are going to be looking for tape or to be on practice squad.
Yeah.
So the list is shorter now. The players that are limited, Shaq Thompson, Cam Lewis, Connor McGovern. McGovern saying, yeah, if it's game day, I'm going. Allen's on the field, I'm on the field.
And I think that was just more like a, Allen's not out there, why would we put you out there?
Yeah, and you're going to be back, you're going to be fine, everything like that. And the Bills have also done this, where they've taken their time with players on the return in training camp and in preseason. That list now, though, of the players that would be 53s,
mm-hmm.
let alone starters, every time that you qualify, it gets shorter compared to where we were at the start of training camp. So, are they getting healthier?
Kinda. It feels like it.
It feels like it. Are they getting healthier where the depth chart lies? Yes. I don't have Joey Bosa coming into training camp with an injury.
Well, that was a worry, too, initially.
Because he got himself a little bit of a tweak in minicamp.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't come into training camp with the injury. He comes in fine, ready to go. He's not leaving training camp with one either. Good. That's what I want to see. Especially because you're the big ticket item.
Yeah, even though he's a one-year deal, that his whole point being brought in was you're going to fill the Von Miller role.
Remember the offseason conversation of the Myles Garrett pitch?
Yeah.
It's the face of the ideal. The ideal was to get a big-name pass rusher in here. Bosa becomes the player that fills the ideal.
Ultimately, because no one actually gets traded.
Nobody gets traded, which, thanks, NFL. Really love that. Teasing us with all this potential action. And even still now, because Parsons and Hendrickson are available for trade, yeah, quote-unquote, and we're not going to see them get traded. Can't wait for all of that to happen.
The least fun thing in the league right now, outside of they're going to start, you know, hammering down on sportsmanship more, so love that. It's going to be great. Is the fact that trade demands have now just become a negotiation tactic. That is so – it kills the vibe so fast.
It kills the vibe so much. But, again, the Bills are – the one thing that you're looking for out of a preseason – they're actually improving upon that little by mm-hmm. little. The names of starters that are on that injured list is going down and down. They're building themselves back up at the top of the depth chart. Little by little, players are coming back. Good. Exactly how they planned it. That leads me to, yeah, this preseason has kind of been booty cheeks, okay? Grit your teeth for one more evening, everyone. That's all we got to do together. Grit your teeth through one more. Watch it or don't watch it. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I know I'm watching it because I have to. And that's fine.
I'm not complaining
about my job.
Thursday.
I'm just noting that I'm going to do it. You should suffer along with me. That's my suggestion.
I wish they played on Thursday.
Just
get it out of the way.
So it's already done.
Get it out of the way.
I understand that. But we got to wait till 7:30 tomorrow. But then guess what? After that, we're ready. We're into regular season mode. We're doing predictions, having fun. Flip the cards over. Let's go and see what we've got.
803-0550, the number to call. Want to jump on the show today. guess the topic there is, do you think the Bills defense has done enough this offseason to be a better unit than last year? We'll jump through some of those stats from last year as well. I think it's a pretty good kind of roadmap to where they were last year and where they could be this year. Also want to talk Keon Coleman a little bit. I know Joe was discussing him, and the highlight reel plays continue to come in from camp. He continues to have a good camp. Also got college football starting tomorrow. And Sal Capaccio will join the show in just about a half hour at 11 a.m. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's a beautiful Friday out here in our Amherst studios. I was just telling Derek in the break, I am in the process of watching through the America's Team, the Gambler and his Cowboys. It's the Netflix documentary on the 90s Cowboys. I just wrapped up episode 4. Derek, I will tell you, it's phenomenal. I think it's really, really well done. You don't even have to like the Cowboys to kind of appreciate the production value is really good. Kind of the archive footage that they're able to bring in and use. It's just so well done.
I am going to let you fill me in on that show entirely.
I'm having a great time. I was born in 98. This takes place in the early 90s. It's not when I was around. I will tell you, it absolutely floored me to see a young Skip Bayless. They had, like, when he was being interviewed, I think, about his book. Threw me for a loop. I've also really enjoyed, because once the Cowboys won, I guess, like, now in the ether, it's not talked about, like, everything behind the scenes like it was in real time. Mm-hmm. So, like, the Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones, I knew there was animosity between the two by the time it's over with. I didn't realize
how much it
was bad.
That was, like, probably, like, throwing hands on sight if they saw each other.
That's kind of where I'm at now in the series, is when they're at the owners' meetings and basically...
And I'm pretty sure there's a non-zero chance they're still at that level.
I think it's better now because Jimmy is in the Ring of Honor their version of the Hall of Fame.
I still want it to be.
But, man, is he it wants good.
There's just, like, that intrusive thought of, like, I want to sucker punch Jerry Jones so bad right now.
Oh, yeah. It's really good. Episode 3 and 4, the Bills are in it, obviously, with them being in back-to-back Super Bowls. Jim Cowley's interviewed for it, and it was kind of cool, like, to hear. Because watching the 4 Falls of Buffalo, obviously you completely hear it from their perspective. It was really cool to hear it from kind of the opposite perspective of Dallas, mm-hmm. and hearing, like, where the national media was at the time with the Bills, which was, we want them dead and gone. Like, by Super Bowl 4, they were like, get them out of here. This is ridiculous.
We've had enough of Buffalo losing in these things.
They had one national media guy. They didn't name him. It was a clip of him going, like, can we find a way to, like, not have the Bills go again, even if they do win the AFC?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, we're kind of there with the Chiefs now. They're just winning them. But we're kind of there already.
We are kind of there already with the Chiefs. Of, like, we've had enough. Can we stop?
I cannot recommend the documentary enough. It's a blast. I don't like the Cowboys, but I have found that I love these legacy documentaries. I don't like the Boston Red Sox either. But you give me an 04 Red Sox documentary, I'm watching the whole thing. I'm locked in. Netflix also has that going on too. It's really cool to get, like, the ins and outs of it. I think I'm getting, from what I've heard, the next episode I'm going to watch is the where everything goes to hell, and you get some of the off the field issues that they had and all that stuff. So I'm very excited for that. Also, Charles Haley scares me. To this day, still scares me.
Charles Haley was,
yeah, yeah.
That was exactly how he played, though, and I'm glad that you're informing me that he is exactly how he played.
He's incredible. He's a big part of it, and it's just, I love listening to him talk because he sounds very, like, he's much more put together. His playing days are a little different. But during the Emmett, funny enough, I mean, we're going through the Micah Parsons contract negotiations now. Emmett Smith, after their first Super Bowl, missed the first 2 games of the year. The Cowboys start 0-2 because of a holdout. And after the first or second game. Yeah, it was after the second game. Haley is so upset after they lose to the Bills. I think it's like 13-10 at Texas Stadium. Haley is so upset afterwards, he throws his helmet, and it just misses Jerry Jones. And then Jones discusses, he's like, Charles, let's not do something both of us can't recover from. A week later, Emmitt Smith is signed. And I'm like, oh, wow.
My bet, though, is that Jerry Jones got a message.
Yeah.
It was right next to his face.
May have. Yeah, can't recommend it enough. Again, America's team, the gambler and his Cowboys. Also, Jerry Jones absolutely has a rabbit's foot. There is no doubt in my mind. That man has gotten lucky way too many times.
Well, it's come back on him now.
Karma's hitting him back again because he got a lot right in a really short amount of time.
And now he is over, what, 25 years?
Something like that. It's close.
And more than that.
Yeah.
We're still 25 years is 2000.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number two call. Let's go to the phones. Get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Mark is first up this segment. Mark, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, good, guys. Every time I called in, I've been pretty critical of McDermott. And I was reading this morning. This kind of blew my mind. We got $60 million in cap going towards Von Miller, Dawson Knox, DaQuan Jones, and Curtis Samuel. Obviously, the situation with Von Miller is what it is. But that's a lot. That's a huge chunk of money going to, with the depleted secondary that we have. Is it fair to be, can we get a little critical of Brandon Bean and if he's allocating these funds to the right people? I mean, we're still pounding the drum on Damar Hamlin. No matter what anyone says, he still seems like a below average second string safety. And granted, you know, he's been through what he's been through, but I mean, how Cole Bishop looks lost, and we got these injuries. I don't think they've had a great offseason for this secondary, which was really, really bad, especially in that AFC Championship game. You know, but I'm going to have to listen to you guys. I hope I'm wrong. I'm hoping this call doesn't age well and that Bishop lights it up, you know, like similar to a
Terrell Bernard 2 years ago.
Bernard. You know, Bernard lit it up when he hardly played, and he found his way his second year. But, I'm going to have a list of you guys. Thanks.
Mark, thanks for the call, man. And bringing up the Bean stuff, I've been pretty critical of him this offseason, namely with the drafting. The first and second round picks not being home runs. They are drafting late. I will grant him that. That is, obviously, you're kind of drafting with a hand tied behind your back. You're not really getting the blue chip players necessarily. And on the pass defense, funny enough, Mark, that is actually where the Bills weren't good on defense last year. I mentioned, you know, some of the stats that we had to kind of pull out from last year. The run defense, for as much, you know, headlines it got last year, Derrick Henry's going to run them over, the whole thing, they can't stop the run. They have to sell out for the run at times.
Especially in that game against Baltimore in the divisional round, exactly. They do sell out for it.
And even then, a unit that also kind of needed help because the defensive tackles didn't do great in run defense. They had a lot of tackles for loss actually in the run game. It's over 100. I can't remember the exact number, but Brett Coleman and EJ Snyder, they did it on their podcast. I think it's like 104 or something like that. But most of them actually didn't come from the defensive tackle position. It came from their corners, their safeties, and their edge rushers. Greg Rousseau in the run game, obviously. Like, that's kind of the one thing I think most Bills fans do agree. That's what he's elite at, is setting the edge and being a really good run defender. But you look at their rushing defense, they're 13th in the league in terms of yards per attempt, 4.5. The worst teams were like Carolina at 5.2. The best team was Baltimore at 3.6. So they find themselves around the middle point of that in terms of actual rushing yards given up. They're also pretty low, 21st in the league, not even 2,000 yards. The worst team is Carolina. I will mention Carolina's the worst in most of these. First downs even running the ball, they're at 18th. With only 112 given up to Carolina's 179. It really is actually their passing defense. The yards per attempt, they're 15th at 6.2, but it's the first downs they give up. Fourth most first downs given up passing the ball. Yardage, they're top 10 in the yardage given up. That is where I think they were really hurting, is in the pass defense. They do go out and draft a corner in the first round in Max Harrison. A little bit more raw than you'd want, but he has the elite skill set you don't typically find at the end of the first round with his elite speed. Problem is, he gets an LCL sprain in the middle of camp. We actually don't know if he would have eventually overtaken Trey White. At the time of the injury, I know we've talked to Sal about it, Trey seemed to have the upper hand there, but we don't know how that would have kept going. I will mention also with safety, they have tried to, I think, move on from Damar Hamlin in a way with Mike Edwards and then this year Derek Forrest. Those have just completely failed. And then Cole Bishop in the second round. they did try to add a quote-unquote, as much as you can in the second round, blue-chip player at safety. Bishop looks the part. He played a ton of years at Utah. He's 6'2", over 210 pounds. He runs fast for a safety. He should fit the mold.
He's been cursed with bad luck.
He's been, and namely when the injuries occur, is when he falls behind.
Right.
The regular season, he ends up being fine injury-wise. He just picks up 3 weeks worth of an injury that he misses most of his rookie training camp, which is the worst time you can miss. And then this year, you know, the team sounds a little bit more positive since the game has gone on. And I will say, too, on the preseason game, Mark, it's tough for me to fully criticize him when it sounds like the team just wanted him to go out there and just get reps with the backups. That's more what it sounded like, is we just need him out there with live bullets flying and get him up to game speed. And that's why he's playing this weekend as well, just to get more reps to hurry that along. I'm not saying the secondary is definitively better. I will say, though, that their two cornerbacks last year on the outside, 2 and 3, Russell Douglas and Kyer Elam, are not on this team again.
And there's a reason for that.
There is a reason for that. And I think they did set themselves up, tried. I think maybe tried is the best way to say it, to fix that. Corner around one and bring back a guy who seems to be getting healthier as he went in Trey White to eventually at least be a solid depth corner.
And we'll see if he's managed to escape major injury. It would be rough to lose corner 2 and 3 that you actively tried to replace and made sure that the players that were there were no longer on this roster. It would be tough that your replacements for 2 and 3
go down
to injury.
And then
you can't control that, though.
Yep. And then on the defensive line, because that also plays into obviously the pass defense, they have tried like hell in just one offseason to essentially replace most of that defensive line with bringing in Sanders and Walker and Landon Jackson all in the draft, bringing in Joey Bosa, signing Hoyt and Ogunjobi. And this is where I mentioned to, I guess in a way, be patient. We'll, of course, be looking at how it's tracking throughout the year, stats, is the defense actually better? But this is why I've been preaching patience of wait until December, January. Because of the injuries they've picked up, while not season-ending, they have hurt them in terms of development with training camp. They have two guys on that defensive line that will be suspended the first 6 games in Hoyt and Ogunjobi. I think what I'm looking for from the defense for the first few weeks, survive. Don't be the Bengals. Don't be the Ravens at the start of the year. Be good enough. Be good enough that your offense can score 30 points and win. And not have to score 35 and might win.
And not even 30 points necessarily. Give me a 27-28, which is typically going to be on the higher end of points per game.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do enough that that doesn't become a detriment, that one of your higher points per game averages is not good enough? Don't be an absolute disaster class is really the first step here. Survive the first few weeks without the cornerback twos, and you can get through the rest of this. Would that first game be rough? Absolutely. Does the NFL care?
No, not really.
No.
No.
Life goes on. If you've got to march out Dane Jackson as cornerback number two, you got to march out Dane Jackson as cornerback number two, and you're going to like it. Or you don't have to like it. It's going to happen anyway.
Yeah, you'll have to just kind of figure out how to deal with it.
You're going to have to deal with it.
I will also say, too, and to Mark's last point here before we take our next time out, on the cap situation as well, we all kind of knew the Von Miller one would hurt anyway. Even if they won a Super Bowl, that was going to hurt. The ones that do really sting are Dawson Knox, especially signing him to that contract. And then what, a year later, drafting Kincaid. Curtis Samuel, $7 million cap hit. We're all now wondering, because of his health issues, can they just trade him to free that up? We'll give a team a draft pick just to get rid of him. They have made good moves with retaining a lot of their players, but there have been some misses.
There have been some misses, and that happens across the National Football League. Like, I do think that Brandon Bean needs to be better, in particular, more consistent with his second-round picks. First-round picks have also had a little bit of that consistency issue as well. But man, does he make up with it in the third and fourth rounds. Ugh.
Problem is, he's not getting home runs there.
He's not getting home runs.
He's just getting good NFL players.
But when you combine the two of those things, that becomes a perfect draft class. And I don't think that is something that typically happens in the NFL.
You hope for one of those?
You hope for one of those things to happen. Typically the home runs.
Oh, no, I mean like one of those like just perfect draft class like yes. that we can take that to the bank. It just it doesn't happen all that often.
It doesn't happen all that often across the league. So this is that Bills goggles thing that we were talking about yesterday. You know, try not to have it. Things happen around the league too.
803-0550, the number to call. Do you want to touch a little bit on the preseason games that went on last night? Especially, I think one team needs to be starting a rookie week one. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
If you're a coach, you're looking at this, and I get it. You got to win because there's a lot of heat on you right now. And if Russell Wilson struggles early out of the gate, I can see this young guy playing. This guy reminds me a lot, when you watch him play, a lot of Josh Allen. Big, strong arm, accurate, mobile, runs. I mean, coach had that guy in Buffalo. He sees it. Everybody sees it. It jumps off the film on you. It's like, whoa, look at this guy. So after week four, we'll see.
That is former NFL head coach Herm Edwards, also former Arizona State head coach as well. Could be one of Joe DiBiase's favorite college football teams. I'm pushing Arizona State on him.
Are we doing the same thing that we did with Owen with the?
I think so. I mean, he's got to pick one soon though. Week zero starts tomorrow. He's got to pick one soon.
Yeah,
got to get on the ball here.
Got to get on time on task on this. We needed more fanfare for it.
I think so. Yeah, Herm Edwards though, talking about the New York Giants and the quarterback he is talking about there, Jackson Dart. Real quick on that. I liked Dart out of Ole Miss. I do not understand the Josh Allen comparisons. Outside of the fact that his coach is Brian Daboll, and he said he talked to Allen like right after getting drafted about working with Daboll, I do not see it. He's Bo Nix with a better arm.
And that's
like
fine.
That's perfectly fine. Bo Nix was great his rookie year. He looks like he might be, you know, have a little bit more left to his ceiling, but if he's that kind of guy, it'll be good. I think Dart's got a little bit more potential. He looks much better than I thought he would early on. On this, though.
I say real quick about Jackson Dart?
Mm-hmm.
His aesthetics are goofy.
Oh, he looks like a supervillain. I love it.
He looks like, I don't know. How do I say this with him? Like, he looks like when you're trying to, like, make a creative character. Like, I need all the most obnoxious accessories possible.
Yeah.
Turtleneck? Check mark. One eye black? Yes.
Love him.
It's obnoxious, but like brilliant, all in the same sense. Number six, why not?
It fits that Lane Kiffin was his college coach. Like that all starts to really come together. I will say though, on like if Russell Wilson starts to struggle early, throw him in. Why wait? Playing Russell Wilson will get you fired if you start the year 1-6.
Which you could.
Playing Jackson Dart and starting 1-6. But Dart keeps progressing, he's getting better, what have you. You can sell that to an owner of, hey, this is our guy, it's going to be painful this year, but we're going to develop, and next year's when we take the step forward. Look at the Giants, by the way, too. Like, let's say Dart is Bo Nix this year. They have one of, if not the best defensive lines in football, and Malik Nabers is maybe the best young receiver in the sport.
There's no way they recreate what the Denver Broncos did, though.
No, and I don't think they'll be Houston from a few years ago as well with C.J. Stroud. But if they win seven games like that, you can sit there and go, yeah, we're just good. Look what New England was. New England was battling maybe for the number one pick, and we could still walk away and go, yeah, I really like what they have at quarterback. You can do that the same way, but if you're Daboll or Shane, you'll get fired starting Russell Wilson.
Because that is what you are. Ultimately, that head coach did get fired, though.
Well, yeah, Mayo was a disaster. He's not even on an NFL roster anymore as a coach.
But like, I just want to make sure that is made clear so that you're not getting you don't have a gotcha moment right there.
Right, but I just, for me, and it's the same when I look at Anthony Richardson, Trey Lance. We've talked about them not getting really, I don't want to say a fair shake, but injuries really hurt them, but ultimately Richardson gets, what, like 15 starts before it's completely yanked from him? Mm-hmm. And Daniel Jones, the guy. Trey Lance is on like his third team. And we're just happy he's playing in the preseason.
Yes.
Dart started for 3 years at Ole Miss. It kind of shows in the preseason. He's looked very, very good, very precise. He's had a few highlight plays. I don't understand the point in waiting. There's no, and I know Nate and Joe are talking about this, there is no good spot to throw him in. It's a gauntlet of a schedule.
Right.
So just start it off.
Start it off, get in there with it, but also, would I rather not throw
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Jackson Dart to the Wolves of the Commanders, Cowboys, and Chiefs right away? Yeah. I think that that helps. Get him in against like the Chargers and the Saints, and maybe you've got a little bit of a reprieve.
I don't know. Three-year starter in college in the SEC, I think he'll be – if he's got it, he'll be just fine. If he doesn't, we'll know early that what he's got to work on or if he has it at all. Three-year starter in the SEC, I think
but it also
does
gives
somewhat
him,
mean something.
But it also gives him three games of tape that he can watch from afar – not on the field, and young quarterbacks have taken to that.
Josh Allen being one of them, of course, middle of the year, being able to sit down, Derek Anderson starting. I don't know.
He learned what not to do.
I'm always somebody. Play him early and get them the reps going.
I just want that quarterback room of Jackson Dart, Jameis Winston, and Tommy DeVito. And Russell Wilson harshes those vibes so bad.
Yeah, get him out of there. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll get a look in on the Bills and practice yesterday. Sal Capaccio will join the show next. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hour number two rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. A beautiful Friday morning. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer with you. And today's show, of course, is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We'll be hearing from Sal Capaccio here in just a few moments as we get ready for the Bills' final preseason game of the year down in Tampa Bay. The Bills had practice yesterday to wrap up training camp. with cutdown days being Tuesday, that was their final, I believe, their final preseason practice. Feels weird. Feels like it just started and it's done. They did it at the stadium, which is pretty cool. It seemed like there was some high emotions at practice, a little bit of fighting going on. We had the Trey White injury as well.
It got spicy.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see more on practice. But with that, we go to the Western Hotline. Sal Capaccio joins us. Sal, good morning. Happy Friday.
Guys, happy Friday. Bills taking off for Tampa this afternoon. And then, of course, final preseason game tomorrow night in Tampa.
Here we go. We know you got to get ready to leave for today, so we'll get right to it. You know, the big news of yesterday, Sal, and I know there's kind of a lot to it, so I'll let you get right to it. The Tre'Davious White injury and everything going on there.
Yeah, so yesterday, out at practice, after an 11-on-11 play, we noticed as a media group, something was happening in a spot where we kind of couldn't see the play develop from where we were sitting, and then he realized it was Tre'Davious White. He was hopping on one leg. Obviously not good. Initial reaction is, uh-oh. Then Mitch Trubisky comes over, helps him off the field. By the time he got over to trainers on the sidelines, he stood on both legs at the wall. He was frustrated. You could see him, you know, obviously he was like punching the wall a little bit. It wasn't like really hard, but you could see he was a little frustrated. And then after a few minutes, he walked on his own with a trainer near him, but on his own, he walked across the field through the end zone area and then all the way up the tunnel into the game day locker room. After a little while, he walked back down the tunnel to where kind of the tunnel meets the stands there. And he watched practice for a couple minutes. A cart came over. He got in the cart. And then they drove him outside the tunnel out of the stadium. So when people aggregate news and they say Sal Capaccio or someone else reports that he was taken off the field by a cart, that is not correct. I mean, he did get on a cart to leave. He walked off the field. He went to the locker room under his own power. He came back out of the locker room under his own power. And then he got onto a cart to go leave the tunnel to go to the, I'm assuming, the training facility, which you're not going to have a guy walk and do that because it's just too long of a walk. So let's hope that that's encouraging, but we don't know anything as of right now.
Yeah, and I mean, it is the quote-unquote cart season. It does not mean the same thing it used to. Teams just now do that because it's easier. You might be dealing with an injury. Why would we have you walk anywhere? It makes a lot of sense to me. But, Sal, if White is to miss any bit of time here, I think any team is dealing with a quote-unquote depth issue here. If you lose cornerback 2 and 3, I don't care who you are. Corner 4, you're probably super worried about.
Yeah, listen, I mean, they went out and they re-signed Trey White to bring him back. They re-signed Dane Jackson to bring him back. And suddenly, even though Dane Jackson, to me, hasn't had, like, a great camp, and we know that he doesn't have this super high ceiling, suddenly he becomes a really important player on your roster. Because I think if you have any question at all about Tre'Davious White for week one or beyond, I think right now you have to think about you only have a 2-week ramp-up time. You got to put somebody in there you trust and knows your system. You can't just go out and sign an Asante Samuel and bring him in, right? Just give an example of a free agent. Could you sign Rasul Douglas? Sure, but what shape is he in? What has he been doing? He would know your system. There's money involved there. Dane Jackson's here on the roster. To me, Dane Jackson would be that first guy up. You could definitely make an argument for Jamarcus Ingram. I respect that. I like Jamarcus Ingram. But I think about it through the team's lens, which is Jamarcus Ingram plays a lot of roles on this team. Is he truly an outside corner? Yeah, he can be, but he's also a dime safety, a nickel corner, and you like to have him available for all those things, plus play special teams. So you're probably not putting him on as an outside corner as your number one guy. It could happen. You could do that, and then you just adjust. That's fine. But I think it would be between those guys. I think Dorian Strong, that's too much to ask. Dorian Strong's on this team. He's a rookie. I don't even know if he makes the 53. That's another discussion. It's weird to me because I think it's all or nothing with Dane Jackson in that scenario, which is Dane, to me, isn't even on the team if everybody's healthy right now. But if everybody's not healthy, like Tre'Davious White, he's not only on the team, he's probably starting week one because you go to that guy who you know you can trust. You're not using him as a reserve in that situation.
Sal, when it comes to the rest of the team, though, I would say starter-wise, they are overall getting healthier. Players that didn't practice yesterday, Van Pran Granger, Shakir, Jordan Hancock, Max Hairston, Keonta Jenkins, Travis Clayton, Tylan Grable, Grant DuBose, and Steven Gosnell. But it does look like, compared to where we were at the start of training camp and how practices were going, it looks like, though, outside of cornerback two, they are getting overall healthier at the top of the depth chart.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I still think they're working through things. The issue is, even though that is true, some of their depth is a little hurt. And then how much do you manage reps going into a final preseason game? You don't want to put your starters out there if you don't need to at all. I don't expect any of the true starters to be out there other than Cole Bishop tomorrow night. I think Cole Bishop's going to play. They need to get him some reps. We'll see about Curtis Samuel as well. Does he wind up playing? A couple guys that Sean McDermott mentioned yesterday. So we'll see about all of that. In the meantime, you're right. Like, look at the top end of the roster. If Tre'Davious White's healthy, and then yesterday we did have Christian Benford leave practice early, but he said he was fine. He needed some rest. So as long as all that's fine, but if they're not, then you have a different issue there. Cedric Van Pran Granger is a guy that's probably going to stay on PUP, and you'll get another 4 weeks there. Max Harrison can go on IR designated to return. You'll get another 4 weeks with him as well. So you're right. There's still some depletion here, but overall it looks like the main guys you're going to be counting on week one, it feels like that's trending in a better direction.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Sal, what's up with Taylor Rapp? A couple of practices back-to-back where he lowers a little bit of extra booms on Dalton Kincaid and Elijah Moore. Practice gets a little heated yesterday, especially because of that. And it does look like Rapp's aggression in practice is pretty much he's ramped up for the season.
Well, it does, and you don't want to see guys be put in harm's way in a situation where they shouldn't. You also don't want to tell guys not to do their jobs and play football. It's a tough balance sometimes. And some guys go a little bit harder or put themselves in a position where they're not thinking as much like that, but other guys take exception to that, which is how it leads to pushing and shoving and fights. And yesterday, Elijah Moore took a shot from Taylor Rapp. He didn't appreciate it. He tossed the ball at Taylor Rapp, pushing and shoving ensues. Now you have everybody getting into it with each other. I think part of that is also hey, we're at the end of camp. The starters have really only hit each other, not another team other than one day against Chicago. They're ready to do that. They had to have a longer practice yesterday because Sean McDermott's getting them their reps before the preseason finale because they're not going to play. It also happened, I would say, guys, I don't think it's a coincidence. That happened like 5 minutes after Tre'Davious White's injury. So maybe you're a little bit more on edge, you know, frustrated. You see your teammate go off like that. It could put you in a different mindset. The day before that, Taylor Rapp goes up for a ball. Dalton Kincaid goes up for a ball. Yeah, I think it's him basically kind of playing football. But sure, you want to make sure that you're not, you know, hitting your starting tight end in a vulnerable spot, right? And that's always tough. Like I said, luckily Dalton Kincaid is fine. But yeah, these are things that, you know, some guys maybe have to be told a little bit once in a while to dial it down. And in fact, in this case, I didn't see Rapp get kicked out of practice, but a couple of my colleagues reported they saw him get kicked out of practice. So even from the coaching staff, they're saying, hey, dude, we got to just tone it down a little bit here in that situation.
Sal, last thing for me here, not with the Bills, but just it seems like we took another turn in the Micah Parsons situation with the Dallas Cowboys. Have you been keeping up on this? I may be more in the Cowboys mindset now because I'm watching that documentary on Netflix, but I just feel like we're taking the long way to getting him signed and it's just getting weird.
Yeah, it is weird. And anything that a lot of times Jerry Jones, a lot of the stuff he does is weird when it comes to these kinds of things, right? It's like, I think Jerry has it in his mind. And I've said many times, Jerry Jones, I've come around a lot on him in a really good way. Like, I think he's really good for football and a lot of different, capacities that people didn't realize, and good for Buffalo. And he's always been a guy that's always championed keeping the Bills here and helping out with the stadium. But I also think he has this mindset that, oh, it's the Dallas Cowboys. It's a star on your helmet. You should be thankful that you're playing here. So you're going to take what we give you, right? Like that kind of thing. And that's what it feels like. This is a little bit with Micah Parsons, and it is getting weird. And for him to tell Michael Irvin on the podcast what he thought and kind of making news that way. And then now I'm reading threads about, well, you can't even legally do what he said he did with Micah Parsons when it came to the CBA. It's super bizarre, but this is what fuels the NFL. It's drama and it's a soap opera, guys.
Truly incredible. All right, Sal, have fun today. Travel safe. We'll talk again tomorrow when the Bills wrap up the preseason.
You got it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Sal.
Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotlines. Bills get ready to head down to Tampa, Florida for their final preseason game. A team they will play this year. So that's super fun. Week 11.
Oh, yeah. You're not seeing any starters.
Well, I was going to say, like, for both teams, it feels like they will try to do the most they can to show you absolutely.
If there's a starter in a jersey, I'd be surprised.
It's Cole Bishop. He's the one.
Well, I know, but, like, Anyone else on either team is, if they have shoulder pads on, that's too much. You're giving away too much.
It's a very small thing I've thought about with Cole Bishop on that, though, is what should we actually expect from him outside of just lining up at safety and making tackles and going into any coverage if a guy's going to try to beat him, you know, deep. I can't imagine anything more than the most vanilla basic thing you could imagine. Because of that, they play each other in week 11. It's a ways away. It's kind of all you need, though, is that little bit of tape. And so they're not going to want to show anything. Most, you know, pro sports organizations act like it's peak Cold War. And you can't give away any secrets. You can't do anything like that, misdirect, what have you. So I am genuinely curious just to watch what they have Cole Bishop do with the fact. It's an NFC team. It's not even like it's a divisional opponent, a conference right. opponent. But it's still going to be that part of it. It's like, doesn't matter. It's still a regular season game. We're not going to give anything away. It's going to be, I think it's going to be really funny when we find out 15 plays straight, they called the exact same defense. I think it's going to be awesome to find that out.
We'll never learn it. We'll never know.
It's just outside of health. I don't think there's anything I can take from this game for like that reason alone. They won't want to show anything.
Sal also mentioned, though, the depth has been tested a little bit in terms of injuries right now.
Yep.
So, yeah, you do want to get out of this healthy, though. Sal mentioned, how the depth is being tested, everything like that. And you want players to be healthy. Man, that offensive line in terms of injuries in the depth. Alec Anderson, Cedric Van Pan Granger, Tylan Grable all have dealt with something throughout the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting entirely the third unit for this game because there's no way I'm risking Ryan Vandermark even trotting out there right now.
No. He also had a tough game on Sunday.
He did.
Was it two straight plays, false starts?
Two straight plays where they should have been false starts.
Oh, see, I thought they called him. It was just more later in the game that it was like, oh, okay, he's really testing it there. Was it not?
I've purged a lot of memories of that game, so you might be
right. That's probably healthy. But I know he picked up some penalties.
He did.
I remember because that's why we were noticing him. It was like, what are you doing, man?
It looked like he was going to the Juwan Taylor School of Early Starts.
That's an experience. Was that against Detroit? That was 2 years ago against Detroit.
Yes.
Where we had the Juwan Taylor experience.
That was the beginning of that whole season for him.
Yeah, opening night of the NFL.
That's still a thing with him.
Oh, my goodness. It's still a thing with him. Oh, my goodness.
He'll still get called for the occasional false start because of it.
Oh.
Especially when he's, like, lined up 3 yards into the backfield already, too, and he's going kicking early, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite. Those were my favorite. That was that Detroit game. He's already lined up into the backfield, and then he's starting soon enough. And he still got beat by Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah. Speaking of Hutchinson, he was injured most of last year.
Yes.
Before he was.
Oh, he was on an unreal pace.
He is one of the better pass rushers in the NFL. I remember
he wins Defensive Player of the Year at the pace he was going.
Yeah, 100%. Him coming out of Michigan, too, I remember he was picked in the top five, I think second overall.
Second overall, it was between him and oh, my God.
Well, not Malik Willis. I remember that whole thing. Remember that.
It was Jacksonville's pick.
Javon Walker.
Walker, I think, is right.
You look that up. I'm going to talk about Aiden Hutchinson.
Yes.
But I remember him coming out of Michigan. He was great at Michigan. But I remember from most of the draft process. Trayvon Walker. Thank you.
I did have it right.
But most of the draft process was like, how good can Hutchinson actually be? Would it just be a good story to go to Detroit? And then they also maybe pick a quarterback. And no one really knew what his potential was. He's hit it out of the park. He's an unbelievable player. I think even with a lot of the injuries they picked up, if they could have had Hutchinson healthy, I think they really could have figured something out there.
I feel like it's a little disrespectful that we straight up did not know about Trayvon Walker.
He's not very good.
He has 24 sacks.
Really?
He had 10 sacks each of the last 2 years.
Really?
Yes.
I feel like I haven't heard about him.
It's because he's in Jacksonville.
Well, that doesn't help, yeah.
But, man.
Good for him.
I feel terrible about that. I feel terrible now, actually.
No, that's fantastic. Wow, in 23, he had 19 QB hits and 10 sacks. Last year, 15 QB hits. And good for him.
Yeah.
Now I'll take egg on my face. Awesome. That's great for him.
Yeah, like that's a little disrespectful from us.
I fully had it. I'm like, he's not good. Good for him. That's awesome. His rookie year wasn't great. Big part of it. I just never moved off of that. Good for him. That makes me feel good about Jacksonville in the AFC South. I have a few parlays with them winning.
Oh, boy.
I have a few parlays with them winning the AFC South. I've done the thing with Bulldog where, like, you pick all the division winners. And I'm weirdly bullish on Jacksonville, almost solely because of the offense. I think even if Trevor
Clearly, Lawrence, you didn't know Trayvon Walker had 10 sacks each of the last 2 years.
But it's one of those with Trevor Lawrence, I'm like, I think he's gotten a bit of a bad rap. I don't think he's a bad quarterback by any means. I think he's gotten really bad coaching.
Right.
And he's also had drop issues from his receivers. But you add Brian Thomas Jr. from last year into his second year. You have now Travis Hunter. To what extent he is going to play both sides of the ball, I'm very excited to find that out. But I was like, I feel like they should be able to score at a really good pop.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like the AFC South. Like, that should be fun. I do think it'll come down between them and Houston. I don't really think that's too much of a surprise, in part because of Houston's defense. You talk about a great secondary. Houston's secondary freaks me out. Two playoff games in a row, Derek, in the wild card rounds that they've won, they've effectively won them off their defense picking off the other team's quarterback. Joe Flacco 2 years ago, when he had like his heroic run with Cleveland to get them in the playoffs, they basically end that game on defense. And then last year, they get Justin Herbert in there, who's only thrown three picks in the entirety of the year. He throws four in that game. Their last two playoff
Still
wins
funny.
Have been entirely based off. The offense could barely show up. It didn't matter.
Yep.
It was entirely the defense winning it for him. That defensive unit is a lot of fun. And then you add in they've got Hunter, who was a guy that I was sort of into the idea of the Bills trading for a few years ago, even before the Von Miller stuff.
Yes.
Never obviously ended up happening. But they're a fun unit. I mean, I really feel bad about Trayvon Walker. I did not know that.
Hey, Trayvon Walker's
good for him. That's awesome.
Gotten pretty solid.
Good for him. I wonder
Complete
why.
Complete disrespect
as
us.
As a number one overall pick, though, I feel like I don't hear his name. Is it because he's number one overall pick and like didn't reach 15 sacks or something like that? Or Hutchinson, I guess, is ultimately better than him.
Right.
So maybe that's it. I don't know. I feel bad, though. I'm like, really? Good for him.
That whole draft class does look – the stats are fun and kind of depressing also at the same time. Because if you look at stats, you know one of the fun things that you can get to say?
Hmm.
The Bills' first-round pick in 2022 has the same amount of interceptions as Kansas City's first-round pick in 2022.
Really?
Kyrie Elam has two interceptions and so does Trent McDuffie.
Wow. And both of them came last year.
McDuffie is because teams throw at him less.
Yeah. Well, Elam had playoff moments.
Elam had some playoff moments.
I'll give Elam that. He had playoff moments.
Yeah. So there's your fun with numbers today.
Derek Stingley's in that draft too. Sauce Gardner. Man.
Derek Stingley's in that draft. He has 11 picks on his career already.
Houston's defense. That's what I'm talking about. They're unbelievable. First team All-Pro last year. That should be a fun defensive. I don't know about
Sauce Gardner, number four overall, mm-hmm. only has one more pick than McDuffie or Elam.
Well, he commits pass interference a lot.
Yeah, he just holds.
Still like him as a cornerback, though. 803-0550, the number two call. I do want to talk a little college football. Week zero getting underway tomorrow. Should be some fun action, including something I'm not the biggest fan of, but it'll get the season underway tomorrow with two ranked opponents. We'll talk about that after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Hour number two continues to roll along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We've mentioned it, Bills' final preseason game tomorrow at 7:30. We'll be hanging here from 2 o'clock on for pregame. Before that, Josh and Owen will be on for Sports Talk Saturday from 11 to 2, right?
They're 11. Taking my job.
Yep, there we go. Sports Talk Saturday. So
your sons of guns.
We'll be with you all day. But also starting around when those guys are going to be on at noon is actually the regular season of college football. I'd say regular season like there's a preseason. There's not. It's one of the things I truly love about it.
It is, quote unquote, week zero.
But yes, it is the week zero action. Hawaii regularly plays during this. And also, we've now the last few years gotten an international game, which is where we're starting tomorrow.
I think they changed it. I don't think it's called week zero officially anymore.
Have they changed it to what?
Yes. I think they just include it within week one.
That's gross. It's week zero. It's like Notre Dame's new...
Oh, never mind. It's just how ESPN has it.
Oh, okay.
They just didn't want to, like...
Losers.
Losers.
Embrace week zero.
But also, they do it by, like, the entirety of weeks, and it just so happens that it falls into within a week of September 1st.
Okay. All right. That's
so
fine. But for all intents and purposes, this is its own week. Not everyone plays, and you know, some of these teams also will be playing on tomorrow, Saturday, and then play next Saturday as well with, you know, kind of everybody else.
So here's your big deal, though, with this. I am thrilled that college football is back, mostly because of the fact that we now have, once again, football that means something to the standings.
Yeah. I'm very excited.
And oddly enough, what do we got? A decent amount of Big 12 action, though, going on.
Decent amount of Big 12 action. The big game is at noon. That's in Dublin. They did this last year with Georgia Tech and Florida State. We'll get to the international games and kind of how I feel about that in a moment, because it's even worse atrocity next year. Because this I can at least argue. It's ranked Iowa State. It's ranked Kansas State. That should be a really good game. I'm genuinely thrilled that that's what's opening up.
You get
up
12
season.
O'clock leadoff. It's a top 25 matchup between two Big 12 conference
and two teams that are
rivals,
looking, and they're both looking for a Big 12 title. Iowa State was in that game last year against Arizona State. They're blown out, but they're in the Big 12 championship. Kansas State was one of the favorites last year, and so that's at least exciting. Fresno State and Kansas at 6:30 tomorrow. Stanford, Hawaii, actually on national television, is tomorrow at 7:30. Are they great games? No. Week one has great games, three top 10 matchups that I'm thrilled for.
It still also actively bothers me that that Stanford is part of the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not good.
Them and Cal, it's like, guys, you do realize it's called the Atlantic Coast Conference?
I will tell you right now, having no inside information, but due to travel prices, if this Pac-12, the new revamped Pac-12 that's going to be starting next year, if that gets off the ground and is good, I could fully see Cal and Stanford leaving the
fix
ACC.
It. Please fix back. It.
It's going to kill some of their smaller sports because travel's too much.
I don't want my geography to fail me.
You don't want border gore? That's fair.
I don't want West Coast teams playing in the Atlantic Coast Conference. At some point, words don't mean anything anymore.
I think we've already hit that. I think we've already hit that, especially with college football.
Ready? Fix it.
The SEC seems to be the only conference that is like, no, you have to be from a certain area for us to allow you in. Like, they're never going to go Ohio State.
You have to be south or east.
Yeah.
Probably south and east, preferably.
Yeah. Well, depends on where you think Texas and Oklahoma are.
Well,
more just feels like the south.
Those are south, though.
Yeah.
It at least still fits the Southeastern Conference.
Mm-hmm.
I can be sold on Texas being south. That's easy.
Yeah.
It's very clear and abundant. The one that kind of challenges it the most is probably Missouri.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Because they're kind of more like right in the middle.
And they're kind of the weird member of the conference anyways.
Mm-hmm.
They're also relatively new to that. They used to be in the Big 12 or at the time the Big 8.
Yep. So that one's the one. But like other than that, the Southeastern Conference still kind of makes sense. If you go with something rather with a little bit of ambiguity, like the Big 10 Conference, again, 10, we need to fix that like now. But the problem is that we have the Big 10 and the Big 12.
I was going to say, I think the Big 12 has like 16 teams. So we've crossed the Rubicon here.
Both teams have lied about their numbers now for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's just more they don't really – well, because you got to think, too, a lot of these conferences have changed their names. Like the Big 12 used to be the Big 8. The Pac-12 used to be the Pac-10. Like they're like,
but that was back when it meant how many teams there were.
But I think it got to a point, let's not confuse people. It's just we're this
conference. We need to stay these names for the sake of not confusing everybody anymore, but I don't want to change my name anymore.
Yeah, we're gonna you know who we are.
The Big Ten is so iconic to a point where it's like, no, we're not changing this. Even though,
like, I think it needed to change years ago when Penn State joined them, and I think that was back in the 90s that it needed to change. Even before they joined.
They have 18.
I mean, yeah, when you took half the Pac-12, that'll do that.
You have 18 teams in your conference. You're almost at double the Big Ten.
Actually, now they kind of need to do that.
Now you need to do it.
Just for the...
Because, yeah, then a Big Ten's a 20.
Yeah. But, so for me with college football,
that means
though,
Big 12, you got to get to work, get to 24.
Yeah, for me with college football, though,
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
I will say this, and
words mean less nowadays.
Chopin Bulldog, we're talking about this a few days ago, to these international games. There's a soccer game in Spain that's going to be taking place in the United States, and it's a genuine league game, and I don't love that.
No.
I haven't loved the international series for the NFL. I know where it's going, and to a certain extent, that's fine. I get it. And I can almost argue it with pro leagues. Sure, you want to expand, fine. Go to different cities, okay.
Try to grow the game in a sense.
Sure. But I will tell you, and especially with college football, I really, really don't like the international stuff. And it's not because I don't want to grow. It's not that. It is much more, it's my same feeling of the neutral site games that are non-bowl games. You know, last year, USC and LSU playing in Las Vegas. Every year, there's a game played in Atlanta, week one. I think this year it's South Carolina and Virginia Tech, I think is the Atlanta game. I don't like it. College football to me is all about the on-campus sites, you know, kids back at school, the very passionate fan bases that, you know, Buffalo, the Bills, are compared to major college football fan bases with how ravenous it can be, the tailgating scene, the whole thing. That's what I think of with college football. I do not think of Kansas State and Iowa State playing in Dublin, Ireland. I certainly do not think of what we're going to get next year with Michigan and Central Michigan playing in Frankfurt, Germany. That just feels incredibly wrong to me. Again, it's not because they're playing in a quote-unquote different country and I don't want to expand. It's not that. It is what makes college football and, in a sense, college sports special. It is the on-campus environment
on campus
and the fan base.
Especially with college towns.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but Manhattan, Kansas ain't anything more than Kansas State University for its students. Nothing against the town of Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's not that, but like that's everything to many of these towns. Tuscaloosa,
Alabama.
Please
tell me you know the moniker that this rivalry gets between Iowa State and Kansas State.
Oh, of course they have a rivalry name.
I need you guys to like hopefully know this because I've got it right in front of me and I love the moniker for it.
I don't know this one.
Now I need you to rate the nickname that it has. Farmageddon.
Yeah, it's fantastic. 10 out of 10.
Josh's face.
That's phenomenal.
It's called Farmageddon and you're putting it in Ireland?
I hate that more now.
What are we doing?
And again, like,
it's called Farmageddon. They've met 119 consecutive years.
Of course.
A run that dates back to 1917. And you're playing this in Ireland.
Yeah, just it's for me too. It's just it's not
Farmageddon.
Man, I don't want to say
10 out of 10.
I don't want to say it's not what college football's about. I don't want to say that because college football has changed, of course, with the NIL and stuff like that.
Yes, but also you want to keep things like a Farmageddon.
Yeah, to me it is the traditional rivalries: Farmageddon, the Little Brown Drug, the game, the Iron Bowl. You know, it's that stuff. And if
thought he said.
No, Little Brown Jug. Yeah, it's big.
You said something else that rhymes with jug.
Oh, okay. but to me, like that's what this is about. And yeah, go playing in Ireland, it just doesn't have that same feel to it at all. It kind of takes a lot of it away.
It takes a lot out of it because there are some cities that host college football teams that, you know, obviously it's not as big. Here, Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate, as a matter of fact, because that program is growing. And I would like to put a little bit more shine on the UB Bulls this year if we have a chance to. But it's college life. College football games in these iconic stadiums with rabid fan bases is something you should never send overseas. Or even to a neutral site. I'm with you 1,000% on that.
Yeah, for me, it annoys me. That was a big part of why I love the three top 10 matchups we have going on for week one, Saturday the 30th. They're all on their quote-unquote campus sites. I only say that because Miami plays at Hard Rock Stadium. They don't have an on-campus stadium.
But they are – Miami does have fanfare for the Hurricanes, though.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean that, like, you know, Texas, Ohio State is in Columbus.
It's in Columbus. It's a big deal.
You know, I think LSU Clemson is at Clemson. I think it's at Clemson. So that game's going to be in South Carolina at their home stadium.
And yet what I don't understand is, like, Syracuse, Tennessee is being played in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta.
Oh, they're the Atlanta game.
Yes.
Huh.
Tennessee and Syracuse. I mean, I guess it's a quote-unquote home game for Tennessee, and it's closer to them.
Well, no, but that's what I mean. That's every year. Oh, that's right. We have two of them. There's two of them. There's one on Saturday, one on Sunday. Virginia Tech, South Carolina is also those. But
yes.
But those are those games that I don't really care for. The neutral site, it also kind of doesn't do what it should for a lot of these programs when you get the big win, when it's got that neutral site moniker.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than
you're celebrating with the students.
Well, not even just that. LSU last year. If they beat USC, but it's at the Coliseum. That does more for you. That does more for your end-of-year resume of why we should be in the playoff rather than, yeah, we beat them in Vegas. Or here, Kansas State, Iowa State. Both will be looking for the Big 12 title, potentially. They're
also
both ranked.
The disrespect. I'm sorry, but I've got Farmageddon being played in Ireland. If I'm Iowa State and I beat Kansas State on the road, what's the first thing I'm thinking of doing with all the disrespect intended in the world? Planting a flag.
All pulling a Baker Mayfield?
Yes. But now, especially because there might be a risk that the 109-year streak of that game being played might be at risk next year.
Oh, really?
Because conferences.
Oh, like, yeah, they have a lot.
They only protected four games
mm-hmm.
that have to be played every year all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this was not one of them. But now you're playing it in Ireland. And if I'm Iowa State, I don't get to plant that flag and disrespect a team in the Farmageddon series.
You also don't really get the eyes on your program. Look, they're going to be playing. That's one thing. But it would be at Iowa State, I'm imagining.
It would be at Kansas State. They're the home team.
Oh, but so for Kansas State then, though, all of college football is going to be watching. Most of America will be watching that at noon.
Mm-hmm.
you could have all the eyes on Manhattan, Kansas. That's a good recruiting poll. Instead, now it's, well, we're in Dublin, which, I mean, look, maybe could be a recruiting poll for you. But I also look at what next year's going to be, which is Michigan and Central Michigan in Frankfurt, Germany. And I'm just at a loss for words with that one.
You know what?
Like, there's no rivalry there. But I look at a school like Central Michigan paying to go all the way out there. You're not a big school. You do not have the budget.
You are getting a payday, though, facing Michigan.
But that's the thing. Like, what's the payday like? MAC schools don't have that big a budget. We know that with UB. So what is that even like?
Yeah, I don't love the idea. I'm with you 1,000% on this. Lockstep on. Look, I respect going and playing games internationally. But college football is college football, and it's unique in its own stance for that reason. Nothing about Ireland is going to remind me of college American football.
No. I do love the stadium, though. I do want to point that out. I love the stadium.
That's fine. Let the NFL play there.
Yeah. I was going to say, they hosted it really well last year with Florida State, Georgia Tech. But even that kind of felt weird that, like, man, they're there?
Yeah.
Like, that feels like it should be played in Tallahassee or Atlanta. Like, that's where that should be rather than this. And I do mean that, too, with the neutral site games. Outside of bowl games or the national championship, I don't like the neutral site games at all because it's not the best part of college football.
It's not. It takes away one of the best parts of college football in and of itself. That is something to it. Like, and there's a lot of them. That's the thing. It just, I don't know.
You have five games though in action tomorrow.
The Ireland one, really.
We mentioned Iowa State, Kansas State. That is sort of the peak one. Kansas State, about a 3-point favorite. Should be a great game. Two good quarterbacks, Rocco Beck and Avery Johnson. UNLV, Idaho State. I don't think that's even on TV. Kansas, Fresno State, I've mentioned at 6:30. And then Hawaii, Stanford. I apologize to all of us Night Owls who enjoy the week 0, 1 a.m. kickoff for Hawaii. But they'll actually be on national TV. And actually, Hawaii, by the way, 2.5-point favorite over Stanford, which also tells you how far that program has fallen to be underdogs to a Hawaii team that I believe fairly soon is going to start the demolition process on Aloha Stadium as they're going to build a new one. I mean, if you watch college football in the early 2000s, Hawaii was a vibe, man, with Colt Brennan, rest in peace to him, and everything they did there. I mean, even Timmy Chang was their head coach as well. There was a vibe there. It was kind of an ugly stadium, but they had cool uniforms. They scored a lot. They had the true run and shoot. Like, we just are going to throw the ball 60 times a game.
You know what is cool, though, like with something about neutral site games, though, is for smaller programs to be able to experience stadiums like that. Like, for example, I looked up all the neutral site games this year, and I've got Southern versus MVSU. That's being played at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in October. Hmm. Good for those teams, legitimately.
My only fear with that is, will you be able to actually fill out the stadium?
Probably not.
Yeah.
But it's for those players, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is how I would like to look at that. And games like that, I'm okay with that. Florida A&M and Howard are going to play at Hard Rock Stadium.
Oh, okay.
Over the opening weekend.
Okay, yeah, okay. It's HBCU schools, yep. Okay.
Yes. I like that for those schools. I like that for the smaller schools to be able to get a little taste of it.
Rather than they have to play Miami where they're going to get their butt kicked. And it's we're just kind of happy to be here.
Or next year. Michigan. It's Eastern Michigan, right?
Eastern Michigan? No, Central Michigan.
Sorry. Central Michigan. Like, yeah, okay. We're just going to fly overseas to go get our tushes whooped on by Michigan. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big part of it.
That's a terrible flight home.
Where it's like, cool, we're going to lose 55-10, and we also had to fly over here and then get our season started.
We're flying 18 hours.
Yeah, and then get our season started. 803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. We'll be right back after this quick timeout. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Also, real quick here, just to wrap up that college football conversation we're having, we had a listener tweet into the station as well. George, pitching a documentary I've also talked about as well.
Yes.
The Any Given Saturday that's on the SEC. It's also on Netflix. There is also an episode in there a little bit later on in the season about Deion Walker and Max Harrison playing at Kentucky. That team went 4-8 last year, but they're kind of major fixtures of that team, obviously both being NFL draft picks. Walker realistically doesn't have an injury. He's probably a second-round pick. Harrison's a first. So really good talent there. I loved that documentary. I watched it as sort of like a appetizer to Hard Knocks later that night. I really liked it. A lot of those teams gave a lot of access to the documentary guys, the directors, what have you. You got to see kind of what Billy Napier was going through at Florida when like it felt like he was really going to get fired. Brian Kelly and LSU, you got a little bit more of a look into them. Just a really good overall documentary. And Netflix is kind of hitting it out of the park a little bit lately for me with these sports documentaries.
And the Southeastern Conference, one of few conferences in all of college football that lives up to its name.
It means more.
I am allowing that because the other ones that aren't lying to me are the American Conference.
Well, yeah, they're just like, we're not going to give you geography.
Conference USA.
Same thing. Not going to give you
geography. Which are literally the same thing at this point. Mid-American Conference, I don't know. Because Buffalo's not in the middle of America.
Buffalo's always actually, funny enough, been a weird member there. Because it's, for the most part, been Michigan,
also,
Ohio.
Massachusetts is there. They're more eastern than Buffalo.
Yeah, this is their second time trying to join. And they're kind of brought in to make Buffalo not
obviously
feel like
the Pac-12 is 10 teams short.
Mm-hmm. They're trying. They're going to bring it back. I'm excited for them.
They're bringing it back.
I'm very excited for them. Boise State finally getting into the Pac-12.
But Mountain West.
Years late. But,
Mountain,
you know,
West also not lying to me.
Right. They have the added bonus, though. They're a mid-major where they don't really get the pickings.
All the mid-majors have gotten it right.
They don't get the pickings.
They don't get the pickings, but they're also not lying to me.
Right. Real quick here before we wrap, final thoughts on the Bills preseason. They got a game tomorrow. We're expecting basically none of the starters to play outside of Cole Bishop. It's going to be a lot of random guys, but real quick, who's the player you're looking for a big game? Want to see one last splash from him or even something at all?
Deion Walker.
I'm going Tyrell Shavers. I want to see Shavers wrap up the preseason, three straight games, at least something. Big deep ball in the first game, beat his man bad in Chicago, just missed him. I'd love for him to have like one more play to really solidify. I think with a lot of Bills fans.
Cook one more unfortunate defensive back.
Yeah, like that's the guy. That's your wide receiver five or six. Get him on the roster, that kind of thing. And then Walker.
How would you feel if it comes at the expense of Elijah Moore, though?
Best players.
Mm-hmm.
I love Elijah Moore. I love the talent he can bring. Haven't seen it yet in practice for the preseason. I just simply haven't yet. But then Walker as well. That would be a nice kind of sending off of kind of – he's looked good. Run game leaves a lot to be desired, but in the passing game, he looks like he's going to be a troublemaker constantly. That's what they need out of a fourth-round rookie. That is a nice added bonus you don't always get in those positions, especially when their third-round rookie in Landon Jackson hasn't shown anything, and him as well. I'd love for him to have a big moment. Just something. Kind of the same with Cole Bishop as well. Just something that fans can go, yes.
And speaking of yes, you'll hear from us tomorrow at 2 o'clock for Bill's pregame. Josh and Owen will take over Sports Talk Saturday for me. But Sabres Live is what's coming up next for you here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAF Giving 360. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.